This is the Final Whistle podcast from the Wrexham AFC media team. Hi, I'm Mark Griffiths. Welcome to the latest instalment of Lowdown, our regular look at Wrexham's next opponents. And this time, well, our next opponents need no introduction because half of them used to play for us and the other half we're trying to buy. Tranmere Rovers. Oh, bit of a tasty one, I think. And Tranmere are a strong side. Sort of the opposite of what Wrexham have been up till Christmas, I sense, in some ways. They are bristling with threat when they've got the ball, but I think maybe they're a little bit open when they lose it. So let's have a look at what they do. There's one key codicil to throw in here. Look very closely at their 3-2 win over Maidenhead, which sort of summed up what I just said about them being strong going forwards but vulnerable at the back. That was last Saturday. But there was one huge absence there, which was Andy Cook, player that we know all about, who was suspended for that match, but will he be available for the game at the racecourse? Cook is the target man par excellence. He really wins a very high percentage of long balls forwards. He's decent on the ground, bringing people in as well, and he can attack crosses. He's a good package, all-round package at this level as a target man. Without him, they kept it more on the floor. Be interesting to see exactly which elements of that approach they keep against us. They're certainly not a long ball team by any stretch of the imagination, but it's got to be the temptation to hurl it in at him. Although we do have two centre-backs who like a scrap against a big centre-forward, so that'll be one key area. The other thing is they played with a 4-4-2, and the wide men, Connor Jennings on the left and Josh Ginelli, who's on loan from Lincoln, on the right-hand side, they don't play as orthodox wingers. They want to come inside. Jennings will come inside and sometimes stay deep and facilitate an overlap from the left back. He'll sometimes come inside and support the strikers, less often that. More often he'll come in and look for second balls on the edge of the area. But his in and out movement is difficult to pick up. We need to watch out for that. Ginelli, a little more orthodox. You know, he looks like he's got the tools to be an orthodox right winger. But he's encouraged to get into the channel. He scored, actually, doing exactly that on his debut against Maidenhead. And he will come narrow, and they will encourage the fullbacks to come up, sometimes at the same time. That's where they can look vulnerable. It's where they can look good, because, like I said, they are bristling with threat. Quite apart from Cook through the middle, they've got Norwood. And Norwood is an excellent striker, I'll come back to in a moment. In midfield, they've got Norburn, who likes to get up there, and Jay Harris, who, you know, even more so I'd say than his Wrexham days, loves to have a shot from 25-20 yards. He hoovers stuff up and lashes it back in. You can see the problem here, can't you, though? You've got both full backs up, you've got both midfielders attacking, you've got the front two and the two wide players all getting into central attacking positions. What happens when they lose the ball? They look open to the counter attack to me. A couple of times Maidenhead nearly nailed a counter attack and not quite, but they look open to me. They often tend to push those players into forwards positions. Harris will hold a little bit more, but not necessarily, you know, not in a sort of Javier Mascherano sort of classic holding midfield position. And as a result, you've got a chance to break on them, not least because we all know Mr. McNulty is one of their centre-backs, and everybody always wants to target him and say, oh, look at him, look at his lack of pace. Okay. He does have a lack of pace, there's no question about that. I would have to throw back at that, well, if it was such a handicap for him, how come he can play consistently at this level and be successful at this level? I wouldn't say this is a glaring problem. His strength and his intelligence and reading of the game allows him to compensate for a lack of speed. But nonetheless, it is true. And I don't think teams tend to get him isolated and exploit him. Admittedly, Chris Holroyd did against at Tranmere in the first match, didn't he, when he should have had a penalty possibly in the first couple of minutes of the game. But I do think that when they leave themselves open like that to the counter-attack, they are isolating him and giving him a problem. So that's something we need to look at, especially as on Hartlepool we scored two excellent counter-attacking goals. Going forwards again, I said I mentioned Norwood's class. I'm really shocked that he hasn't scored more goals, if I'm honest, because every time you see him play, he looks like he's got lots and lots of goals in him. He's strong, and he's quick enough to get in behind the defenders, and his movement is good. He likes to pull over to the left-hand side. He's right-footed. He likes to pull over from the left-hand side, cut back in, and hit shots from outside the box. But he is also equally adept at just running in behind the last defender. And he will also come over to the right and just use power, get down the channels, and try and use power in his shots. He's a constant threat. So we've got a lot to handle with that good defensive shape of ours. They're going to be tested. But on the other hand, if we can continue to counter-attack, as we have done in our last three games, remember the Torquay goal where Rutherford just broke away and then rolled it in for Holroyd? Then we're going to have a threat as well. This is going to be a really, really interesting game. Looking forward to it. This is the Final Whistle Podcast from the Wrexham AFC media team.